Trend Micro has just released their cybersecurity predictions report for 2015, outlining some of the very real threats and emerging trends for the year ahead. So, what does the average online user need to be aware of? Well, we have Tim Falinski from Trend Micro Australia on the line again with some highlights from this predictions report. G'day, Tim.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Excellent as usual. Now, this report is titled "The Invisible Becomes Visible." Sounds a bit ominous. So, what's behind that statement?
Well, don't you have to have a big statement to get people to read reports these days?
Yep.
But what it's actually more about is that we've seen that the cyber criminals are becoming more bold. And whereas their activity used to be against individuals and small and really targeting, not even targeting, but being very broad brushstroke and catching out a few people here and there, we're seeing that they're actually attacking the larger and the bigger media-grabbing targets, and therefore they're getting much bolder with what they're doing.
And, I mean, most cyber criminal activity basically boils down to stealing data, right? Which I guess data is now one of the greatest global currencies. Are we also expecting a shift in who they go after, or are they also going about it a different way?
Well, it's a twofold answer to that question is, first of all, we've definitely seen a shift from purely targeting only the individual to actually targeting the organisation.
Mm.
And also, instead of having a very broad brushstroke approach, is a very targeted approach. So, you know, to take the first one, we're seeing a lot more about, like, we've heard a few attacks in the last year about things like shell shock, which is actually a vulnerability in software which affects everyone. That wasn't a criminal attack, that's just a fault in the system.
Yeah.
But what you are hearing is about data breaches at people such as Target, Kmart, Neiman Marcus, eBay, where they're actually going in and targeting and grabbing huge swathes of our data at once. So they're figuring, instead of going for 1,000 individuals, just go right to someone who's got 1,000 people's information and steal it from them. And in addition to that, these companies that are trying to protect against this, instead of just seeing broad-based attacks out there in the marketplace that are very generic, they're actually finding attacks against these organisations that are specifically targeted at them with knowledge about the systems and the vulnerabilities that they may have. So it's a very targeted approach that these cyber criminals are now using.
I mean, that's pretty scary for the average user, because it's one thing to sort of look after the, you know, your own privacy on your own computer and the things that you do, but then, you know, your information which is stored with other people, then relying on them to make sure that's safe as well.
Well, this is one of the things you mentioned before, that, you know, really it's becoming our data is becoming the global currency. And that's why one of the biggest things that we recommend that people always look at is that how much data are you giving to all these different organisations, and therefore how much of your life can be pieced together if they get stolen. So it's not that you don't want to give your data to your bank, you need to give it to your bank.
Mm.
But a lot of other companies that are asking for your date of birth, etc., you know, considering maybe not giving them the correct date of birth, or if it's not compulsory to give certain levels of information, holding back that information to stop allowing people to actually be able to build a profile of you.
Right. And, you know, another interesting thing too that's highlighted in the report is with Apple coming on board with their new mobile payment system, and of course the digital wallet becoming more of a mainstream reality now, what are the concerns for users in this area?
Well, the concerns that we see for people is that with near-field communication, your mobile phone's always looking to interact with something to make a payment. So one of the things that I know with the bank I'm with, you've got the ability to turn that feature on and off when you do and you don't need it. So if I'm not shopping, I will turn that app off, so therefore it's not actually emanating out my credit card information, because someone walking close to you will be able to pick it up. And we've actually found an application for Android-based attacking the Google Wallet that actually people can wander around with, pick up these signals and actually steal the credit card information people are using for near-field communication. And it won't be long before we see this similar kind of thing in the iOS platform as well.
Gee, that's pretty scary. I mean, I guess that also leads on talking about online banking. Obviously, the threat here is a little more direct, you know, people basically getting access to your accounts. But are the cyber criminals still as active, going, you know, directly after those banking, you know, like e-banking login details, that sort of thing?
This is some of the biggest activity we see out there, that they're trying to, first of all, steal your data and figure out who you are, but two, if they're looking at a particular platform, we're seeing banking. And still one of the most highly things of fake websites and fake applications that aren't your real bank, and then people trying to steal, is to do with banking. We've even seen in Q2, the first one, and we've seen it being exploited throughout Q3, where people have actually created a malicious app that will get around two-factor authentication. So that little SMS message you get with your banking details to type into your mobile phone to make sure that it's really you doing it, they've figured out a way around that through a DNS server malicious app. So every time we try and tighten up the applications that we're using, these guys are finding ways around it. And this is where we're talking about that it's becoming more visible the way that these guys are actually attacking us.
Right. And you talk about these mobile apps. I mean, as we see more internet activity shift to mobile platforms, that also seems to be quite a big break for cyber criminals. So is it the Android platform that's most at risk? I mean, that seems to be the platform that, you know, comes up the most in these threat reports.
It does, but there's two levels to the Android threats that we need to be aware of. There's some 2.7 million threats out there for Android, which is a lot more than what is available on Apple. But if you actually look at the Google Play Store alone, then it drops down to below a million and around that 600,000 mark. So with the Android platform being open source, so people can do a lot more, you are actually able to go and download apps outside the normal Google environment, and that's where you've got to be a lot more careful. So that's where a lot of that malicious activity is. However, what cyber criminals have now finally figured out is that a lot of people connect their devices to their computers to sing, to back up, to get music.
Yeah.
So we've just seen in the recent week, WireLurker come out, which is a malicious app for iOS, which gets into your phone when you connect it to your computer.
Oh.
So you download the malicious bit of software onto your computer, and then when you sync your phone to the computer, it moves across onto your iOS platform phone, and therefore you've now got that malicious software sitting on the phone.
Wow, Tim, you know, listening to this and, you know, looking through the report, it almost feels like the internet is even more dangerous and dark than ever. You know, if it was a real city, it would be the kind of place you wouldn't venture down streets you've never walked down or talk to people that you don't know. How can we feel safe online?
How can you feel safe online is a question I get asked a lot. I think the main thing that we're trying to explain to people is that the world of security and the way that we need to secure ourselves in this new world, given that we use tablets and mobile phones more, given that Mac, Android and iOS are now getting attacked more and more, is that they've got to think that there is a new world of security, and how we used to secure ourselves even 5 years ago is very different to how we need to employ security on our devices today. So it's like anywhere that may be scary, like somewhere that, you know, we may not be known and we don't want to walk down that dark alley, it's always okay to walk down that dark alley with being vigilant and aware when you're doing it. So, you know, I think people realise nowadays there's no prince in Africa about to send us $50 million. Likewise, when we're downloading apps out of the App Store, as an example, don't just download anyone's app and look at it. If we put software on our computer, we make sure we know the company that we're downloading the software from. When we download apps, people generally don't even look at who it's from. And if there's a free app there, you've got to ask, how is this person making money? So I think it's a little bit about common sense and people realising that the world has changed and therefore we need to evolve with it.
Excellent, Tim. And of course, more information at trendmicro.com.au. Tim Falinski, once again, thanks for coming on Tech Daily.
Thanks a lot, Andy.